Welcome to the From the Field broadcast, recorded from the Amazon Basin. Listen now as Brother Andrew brings you good news from a far country.
Galatians chapter 3. And I want to read a few portions of scripture here dealing with Paul's letter to the churches in Galatia. He penned this after his first missionary journey and made his way back to Antioch. And he's pondered about those that he's just preached to. And he's written them some truth. I appreciate any time that there was a problem that arose in the churches Paul was associated with, he always handled those problems with doctrines. And so it would help us to understand that a lot of times in our own nature, just the way that we are, we tend to handle things like a bull in a china shop and make a mess of things before things are fixed. But I appreciate here the apostle. Now, he goes back and always, before even mentioning the problem, before even going to the problem, he always goes back and helps them understand doctrine. What great truth that is here for us tonight. Let's look here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of the faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every man that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Look back with me in verse number 11. It says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. I'm looking tonight here at this text, a little thought on simply free from the law. O happy condition. We noticed here that Paul has written to these Galatian believers. Now, to help you understand what's happened to them is that they were saved by the grace of God through faith. We know that Ephesians 2:8 tells us that. By grace, God gave us a gift of faith that we could believe in Him. And so we know that faith starts with God. And here that these believers, as they so happily and so willingly and so readily accepted Christ, when Paul come through there preaching the gospel, They saw the exceeding sinfulness of their sin, and then how that they was revealed the image of Christ. God saved them. God began to start churches there in this land. And then we see here that because there were men that were traveling to this area, they come to spy them out privately, that they might try to lead them, or that they might try to take them out of the liberty in the grace of God. I appreciate the Christian life. It is a life in grace. It is a life of liberty. And I certainly appreciate that Christ came to give us life and life more abundantly. And so here that these Galatian believers here, they've been swept back and trying to believe now that they must try to perform the law to please God. And I want to make a few statements on that. I'll be brief tonight, I believe. Probably slow at first to help us lay this out so we can understand it and get it tonight by God's help and His grace. But so here's these believers now, and they've reverted back. When Paul went to this area, he preached in synagogues. When he preached in these places here, Acts 13 and 14 and 15, talk about it. He's making his way through now, Brother Dewey, and he's preaching to Jewish people. He's preaching to Jews. But he also says, those that fear God. And so there were other people, Gentiles, in the congregation that when the Jews rejected the gospel Paul preached, they readily accepted and embraced the truth that there was somebody that would take away their sin. And his name was Jesus. And so now that Paul's left and come out of the area with Barnabas, we know that these men has tried to help them and tried to steer them out of the liberty and the grace of God and to put them back under the yoke of bondage by serving God under the law. Now, the law of God, according to Galatians chapter 2, the latter part of chapter 3, we understand wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. So the law of God, those Ten Commandments, those mandates, those rules that come from God, that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai, that law of God was put down in stone, not so much for us to keep them, but to show that we could not keep them in our deprived, sinful state and nature. And so with that law now, the law that God designed is perfect. The problem is not the law, but the law points out what the problem is. And the problem is us living in sin. And so when the law is preached rightly, what it does is it puts sinners under cuffs and conviction by the Holy Ghost. So what's happened now is that they've been freed from this. They understand the schoolmaster has put them in cuffs. They've been given to get the faith by God. They've come to God by faith that He gave them and repentance. They've turned from their sin and they've come to God. And God's birthed them in His family. And so now they have tried to, foolishly as Paul said, tried to please God living under the law. Dear friend, can I say this real quickly? There's been one Christian to live this walk of life and please God. It's Jesus Christ. If you've got it somehow in your mind that what you're doing or what your ministry wants to do or what you can do for God is going to try to please God, you're sadly mistaken. God is pleased with His Son. He said it there at the baptismal waters of Jordan. He said, "This is My Son who I am well pleased." He said it again there at Mount Transfiguration when He told Peter and John. He said, "This is My Son who I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." And then we know in the book of Hebrews said, "For it is impossible to please God. For without faith it is impossible to please God." So what faith? The same faith God gave me at salvation is the same faith I put in Christ to allow Him to live through me. Okay? Now, just hang with me. I'm trying to get this thing laid out for you here. So the law always aggravates the sin nature. The law will awaken the sinful nature. For example, if these walls were freshly painted
And y'all had a, matter of fact, they didn't, it wouldn't have to be. If I had come in here tonight and put a sign on the wall that said, wet paint, do not touch. Before y'all left the building tonight, you would walk up, look at the sign. You might probably look around and see if everybody's looking. And you're going to walk up and you're going to touch the wall. See if it, why? Because there's a law there that says, do not touch it. And then that sin nature is in there. And it's saying, well, is it really wet? I don't know. Touch it and see. And so so that's what takes place. So if you're walking down the street, there's a sign that says, you know, stay off the grass. First thing you're going to do, you'll find your foot, that little picky toe is going to be wanting to get over in the grass. Why? Because that law is trying to awaken the sin nature that's still alive in you. Remember last night, you're dead to it. Okay, y'all with me? Say amen. Okay, now here we look over here in the book of Romans, chapter number 7, and we find here some great truths in the Word of God. Romans chapter 7. Now, we understand here, it says, for an example, look here at this. Verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. Last night we were dead to sin. Remember that? Now tonight we're dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead therein we are held, that we should serve in newness of and spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, which, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Okay? Now we know here that that Paul is fixing to go through and speak about an inner battle that's happening. It's on the inside of him. He's talking to Christians now. The atmosphere is Christians, saints of God, that are living under the law. And this is what he says. Listen now. In verse number 11, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Sounds like you got a big problem there, Paul. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Then, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But when it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, for I know that in me, as in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a night of continued prayer.